that's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery, 76 degrees on January 14th. And I understand there's a picture on Facebook, Charlie, of the snowflakes coming down in Uptown Greenwood. I'm surprised they didn't melt off the poles.
How are you today, Ann?
I'm good. I'm sitting here with Charlie Barineau, our city manager. Good to be able to have this opportunity to sit down and talk with you in the new year.
Good to be with you. Happy 2013.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, isn't it? 13 can or cannot be lucky, right?
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to this year. I think that this year is going to be good for this community. So.
And why?
Well, you know, we had a lot of successes in 2012. The mall, a lot of retail development, and I think that's only going to continue going into 2013. A lot of meetings we've already scheduled, projects that we're working on. A lot of code names in the paper.
Yeah, tell you what, you know, you gotta figure out how these comes up with these codes. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason, is there?
I'd have to ask Mark Warner over there at the Partnership Alliance. I just go with what they give us. I think a lot of times some of them are, if it's an industrial project, are set by the state or maybe the Upstate Alliance. But sometimes when you after the project is announced, you can put two and two together and say, oh, and now I get it. But anyway.
Well, I understand. I mean, since you opened the door to this, I understand there are some great projects that are potentially coming here. And you've already told me you won't commit to answering any of these questions, but yeah. There is some good stuff happening.
Sure, and I think at the end of 2012, City and County Council worked real hard, along with the folks at the Partnership Alliance, to nail down the incentive package for Project Seminole. And so we're hopeful to see that break ground here in the new year. And there are many other projects that we're working on, and so it's exciting. It really is.
Okay. Well, without giving anything away, you know, I guess I could at least mention some of the things, like there's still a possibility that Olive Garden may be coming. I'm not going to ask for your response. There's still a possibility that Publix may be coming, and there's some stuff happening uptown. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, there's a number of nationally known retail customers that are looking at Greenwood. We're a good market. I think I was driving.
If you didn't have Project Smoke, you probably wouldn't be having some of these others coming.
Right. It has been a domino effect. You drive around and you don't see as many empty buildings as you did 2 years ago. The old Lowe's, you know, Gary Russ filled that up. The mall looks great. The old Winn-Dixie now has got Hobby Lobby in it. Some of the vacant activity, even next to Walmart, when you get, some of the pet stores that have come in, all of that is good. To have good curb appeal is critical for Greenwood.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, the one thing I did want to bring up, though, Charlie, we have had a lot of smaller business, mom-and-pop type stores that have gone by the wayside in the last 6 months to the last year, just the last 6 months, and I think that's sad.
Sure. It gets harder and harder. I can't imagine. I ran a restaurant for about 8 years, and the competition is hard. Small businesses not only compete with the big box stores, but you compete in people's houses at their click to compete with the internet and the movement that we're going to. And so those small businesses have to continue reinventing themselves and doing that thing that has always worked and selling that relationship, selling that personality of the small business. People still want to shop where they know somebody, and that's important.
Absolutely. But one of the things that you have started to form, which I found very interesting, is this young professionals. Why we don't have young professionals? We have a lot of people, according to the article, that don't live here, that come here to work.
Right.
Very interesting.
And we're seeing it really, even in the uptown area with some of the revitalization there, the really new influx of young age professionals. And during this last fall, City Council had a retreat, and they invited Ron Melinder, former executive out at Capsugel, to come and speak. And He had been working for the Partnership Alliance and talked about a statistic that had shown that 43% of those 2- and 4-year degreed professionals here commute in. And so, you know, city
council. It's hard to believe that people commute to Greenwood, isn't it? I can remember a time where everybody went to Greenville.
Yeah. Well, we're still a hub. And you know, folks have got to find a job. And when you're from a bigger community such as, you know, Atlanta or Charlotte, driving an hour is not uncommon, an hour plus. And so a commute in from a Simpsonville or an Abbeville or McCormick or Lincolnton, Georgia, I mean, all those areas are within easy proximity to come into Greenwood to work.
So how is this group going to work? How do you think that we can change to make people want to live here?
Well, I think everybody's looking for, you know, if they think that we think by getting this group of people together that we're going to find the silver bullet of success, you know, we understand that's not the case. But we do want to engage this group of people that, you know, it's one thing to have a company invest here and bring jobs here, but you also want the people that work at that company to live in this community and to pay the property taxes in this community.
Sure.
And we all do better. And so we want to ask those questions. What is it that would bring you here? And we want to have a diverse group of folks. We want to have a diverse group of from, you know, the age range of 20 to 40, race, male, female, single, married, with children, without. And you know, is it green space? Is it recreation? Is it our downtown? What is it that would bring you to Greenwood?
Sure. So you don't at this point have any idea of what are some of the things that these people look for?
Well, you know, I can tell you what I have seen, and it's interesting. We did a survey. The mayor did a quick survey, really through social media, late last year as he was preparing his State of the City address. And the number one thing was green space and recreation. And we targeted it to, you know, that younger area. So, you know, I was with my family yesterday at West Cambridge Park, and there was nowhere to park. The two adjoining parking lots were slap full. People want quality of life things. They want those amenities because, you know, they're working 40 to 60 hours plus a week, and they want the amenities to be there when they're done working.
Sure. So that's what you're going to be developing, and then I guess a plan will come together. Hey, I'm here with Charlie Barineau, our city manager. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking more. Hey, if you've got a question for Charlie, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right, we're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery talking about Operation Kaboom. That's right. Hey, what's happening next Tuesday there, Charlie Barineau?
Yeah, Tuesday, the January the 22nd, crossing fingers, is the date that our contractor has set for the final demolition of the old Kitson Street mill there. The smokestack and old elevator shaft are set to come down that morning. Around 11 o'clock, we will be closing off traffic around that construction site and evacuating a few homes, but should go very quickly. So about 11 o'clock, if you're around town, that Tuesday, walk on down to the intersection of Kitson and Mill, and you'll get a pretty good view of a big demolition.
Now, is this going to implode itself or supposed to go over on its side?
No,
what's the plan?
No, it's two simple charges. One, it's almost like cutting down a tree. A charge will go off at the base of the smokestack first, and then it'll fall to the south away from the homes. that are there on Norwood Avenue, and then as soon as it finishes, then a charge will go off on the elevator shaft, and it will follow the same way, and so the structures will fall over into the old mill basement there. So, and then over the week coming, the contractor will then break up that debris and remove it.
Has anybody requested to get the top of the smokestack or anything?
We have had requests for everything, Ann. I had a guy call me today wanting some stuff. And there is some really neat historical pieces over there. Mr. Durst, and I don't want to misstate the individual's name, but one of the original owners of the plant where he used to tie his horse to the old office building there. His hook is still there in the building. So there is a lot of history there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's going to change the skyline up there.
It really will. I drive in after I drop my daughter off at school. I drive in from the Connie Maxwell side, and you enter into the Mill Village, and you see the smokestack, and you enter into Uptown, and you see the smokestack. So it will be a significant change for over a decade that has been in the skyline.
Yeah. So how are you going to record this? Are you going to video this?
Yeah, we've got a number of cameras set up at different shots. We'll have a camera up in the window of one of the buildings there right next to the smokestack, and so we'll have it remotely operated, and we're going to do the best we can to record history.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, I remember reading in the paper, how about removal of all this debris? There had been the county and the city and the back and forth. How did that all work out?
Yeah, city and county council. County council really came to the effort of the project. I think they understood none of us wanted to be dealing with this, but they also, none of us wanted to leave this for the Mill Village and future Greenwood residents. So the county agreed for the city to pay $200,000 for the debris to be disposed of at the county landfill. We anticipate that true value in the terms of $600,000 to $800,000. So we all as taxpayers lost in this deal, but we're moving forward. The debris is gone, and so the future is bright for this area.
Now, what's going to happen there once everything is cleaned up, which you're getting very close to?
That's right. Yeah, I would say by the end of February, middle of February, we really should be close to done. If you've driven by in the last week, they've already started some of the grading, and the property's really changing. It looks really good. But over this coming year, we will go into the sampling phase. We will be taking a number of soil samples, groundwater samples, all of that paid through by a federal EPA assessment grant. And depending on those samples, more than likely we would then do more samples. And so one sample leads to another. And then we're finally done. We will meet with DHEC and with EPA, and they will help to tell us what we can and can't do with the property. It'll probably lead to a lot of other things, such as capping, whether we put a 2, 3, 4 foot cap of soil over certain parts of the property, or whatever is developed over there. Maybe the worst part of it is what becomes your parking lot, mm-hmm. For what that is. But we really don't know. We had a group of Clemson students that were in the landscape and architecture program, urban development, work with the neighborhood over there and try to come up with some ideas that they would like to see. And I know that City Council is committed to working with the Mill Village Association to try to come up with the best use of the property. And long term, that may be a grass field. So at this point, we're trying to get it to the best grade that we can to seed the property and to maintain it by being able to cut the grass.
Wow. Okay. So, that leads us into, I guess we could talk about the topiaries, because now you're building a greenhouse.
Yeah, and I don't know if we had this vision 6 or 7 years ago when the topiary giant was created. The topiaries for the large part have been funded privately, and it started out with, maybe a handful, six. A couple thousand dollars, Catherine and K-Self, a couple thousand dollars here and there, and then all of a sudden we've exploded, and now we own, the festival owns 39 topiaries. And it's unique. It is by far, I think everybody would agree, if you watch the Uptown area 7 days a week while those are up, it brings more pedestrian traffic than anything else we have ever done. And so the question now is...
So how did you decide to take this on would be my question.
Well,
there's another story.
No, the festival came to us. The festival started experiencing challenges going into last year. Like anything, this was started out by a core volunteer group. And
sure. A lot out at Wesley Common.
Correct. A lot of projects, you know, where you grow and grow and grow and you have a core volunteer base, you burn that volunteer base up. And the core volunteer of Master Gardeners really were just abused, for lack of a better word, with the number of hours that were demanded, the volunteer hours. So this past year, from a private standpoint, Wyatt Farms agreed to work the Topiary Project, and then they quickly realized what an undertaking it was. And so the Festival of Flowers really came to City Council and said, you know, we're here. This is where we are, and what do you want to do? And City Council agreed that we have worked together to create this. It works, and let's keep it moving forward. So we're using hospitality tax dollars, which is the restaurant tax that is collected here in the city that has to be spent to attract visitors here to sustain this project. We're using it to build a brand new state-of-the-art greenhouse. It's got to be a big greenhouse. You know, those of you that are fans of the Gamecock, it's 15 feet tall, so we have a 16-foot tall greenhouse.
Nothing any taller than that, right?
Yeah. And so we can roll those in, and it's almost going to be like an automotive repair shop for 45 to 60 days out of the year. You see those topiaries on display, but the other 9 to 10 months out of the year, they will be on wheels in a greenhouse, spinning around, getting water, getting pruned. And so we're moving in that direction. But long term, we hope to get it to where, you know, that maybe one year we keep a couple of topiaries back and don't put them out, because we want to make it new and interesting and different every year.
Sure.
So, you know, next year, you know, we've got all kind of ideas. There's folks that have mentioned having a pig, having a guitar. I've heard a mermaid in the fountain. You know, it's there's some creativity out there. And so we've got to make sure that our operations are correct so that we can move this forward.
So how will this work? Who will actually be in charge of the topiaries?
Great question. And so on City Council's agenda, at their next meeting on the 28th, will be an agreement with the Festival Flowers. And in essence, we will say that the festival owns the topiaries, but by the city committing to do this, they agree to a number of things. One being they can't leave the uptown area. So we all agree that it's for the economic benefit of the key uptown. You know, we come up with a management style in that agreement that the city will maintain those, you know, per all these arborist policies. And I think it's going to work out great. The festival committee is very happy. City Council seems committed. So hopefully it'll all work out for the best.
And Dwight will have a lot more work.
Yeah. Well, in addition to this agreement, City Council is also going to staff it with 3 staff people, again, paid for by hospitality taxes. So it seems hard to believe, but you know, these topiaries live year round, and so if they don't receive the maintenance they need, it costs more money. If you don't keep them pruned properly or watered properly, you spend more money on plugs. You have to replug, and so there's some savings that we think that we'll have. Obviously, there's a lot of expenses, but some long term savings. We may get to the point where we can grow our own plugs for the topiaries.
Kind of like you're growing the flowers for Uptown Greenwood. That was something Dwight
Correct.
Started, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really was. You know, you look at the expansion. You look at what Velux did with their project. It was a great team building exercise. I mean, they had tens of dozens of Velux employees work year round on their big project last year, and so we hope to see more of that. We hope to see more local industry support that, and that we develop topiaries that reflect our community.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with City Manager Charlie Barrineau. This is your opportunity. If you have a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are coming up on South Carolina News. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about, so I hope you'll stay right with us, and find out, is there any other projects going on? I want to know how the budget is for that. And I also want to ask him about our new county manager, Toby Chappell. So you stay right with us right here on WCRS. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. 76 degrees, by the way. The Uptown Greenwood looked fabulous this Christmas. I mean, it just keeps getting better and better. The lights and everything, y'all should be very proud.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are here with Charlie Barino, the city manager of Greenwood. Gosh, Charlie, how long have you been city manager now?
I am now into my fourth year, Ann.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess
they've kept me here. Thank you.
Well, that's great. And it certainly has, you know, we talk about, one of the things you and I were talking about earlier was that we think that all these projects that come up, whether they're for stores or restaurants or whatever, are new projects that just show up on the radar. It doesn't really happen that way, does it?
No. These projects take so much time. Project Smoke, which is where Kohl's is, I think we worked with three different developers on that site. You know, Steve Brown worked with a number of those, so it takes quite some time. It's not as simple as I wish it was. If it was that simple, we'd be doing great. It's picking up the phone to Target and say, "Hey, come to Greenwood." It doesn't work that way.
Sure, and I think that's the thing that people think, oh, these are all, but it's all the seeds and all the things that have happened, and then as things happen, other things start popping up.
That's correct.
So yep. I just wanted to say that because a lot of good work has been done all along to pull these projects into our area.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Now, as far as unemployment, though, how are we doing on that, Charlie?
You know, I haven't looked at the statistic in the last few months, Ann, but I think it was below 10% the last time I looked. But there's still too many people that don't have jobs. Every day I go into work, my office is across the street from the One Stop Center, and you see the folks in line there seeking employment. So we know we have a long ways to go, and so every day that's the goal, and so hopefully a number of these projects will come, and you just have to be patient, and it takes time.
Yeah, you know, the Goodwill opening up and a One Stop, that certainly has, or not One Stop, what's the
Work
Job
for,
Connection,
job, yeah.
Job Connection that works with them. What a tremendous, I was there, they certainly have.
That's a nice store.
It's a very nice store.
Yeah, I warned my wife to stay away.
It is a nice store.
Yeah, they did a good job. And, you know, that's a key artery coming into the community from the Greenville side of town. So we were very excited to see them to build that there.
Sure. So these are some of the things that have happened and are happening here in our area. But, you know, we do need to say that unemployment is something that's still too high and needs to be worked on. And, of course, if we could get more business here, then we could put some of these people back to work.
It is. It's a big cycle. Everything fits together. Without jobs, we can't pay our bills. But we need those jobs to pay for education and to pay for all the things that we want to in our community. And so we're working very hard. I know the folks over the Partnership Alliance have done an excellent job They're traveling constantly trying to bring these folks into Greenwood. So 2013 looks good. It really does.
Now, you know, we've talked about all these things. We've talked about spending money here and everything. How is the budget for the city here now?
The city's general fund budget, the city of Greenwood is in sound financial management, just like most folks should have a couple of months, four months or so in the bank. We have that in reserve. But it's still a challenge. Our state shared revenues are significantly down. We're just, you know, trying to make the best decisions that we can. Most of the projects that you see that we're funding, whether that's downtown improvements, uptown improvements, the topiaries, those are funded by the hospitality tax account, which can only be used for projects that work to bring visitors into our community. But general fund dollars are very tight. They're flat. And so we're trying to invest the hospitality tax dollars the best that we can that will hopefully grow our tax base. I tell our employees, you know, we've had a lot of openings. We had, you know, Hobby Lobby and Kohl's and many good projects, and a lot of storefronts that have been closed now have businesses in them, which is great. But for many of those, we had to incentivize. We had to give some things away to get them here. And so the payoff is long term. But we're very confident that one success will lead to another success. And so Greenwood will continue to grow.
Absolutely. Now, of course, we have a new county manager, Toby Chappell.
Mm-hmm.
And have you had an opportunity to work with him? Or
We have talked a good bit and had ate lunch a number of times together. And
Who paid? Was it city or county?
No,
I mean, I just
neither. No, we personally go both ways. He pays for mine and I pay for his, but I assure you that comes out of our own pocket there, Anne. But you know, I think he's got the right attitude, but it's going to take time. I mean, he's still being introduced to folks, building relationships, but I'm excited. I can text him, email him, he picks up the phone, and so we're communicating, and that's what you want between your city and county manager. It's what you want with your elected folks. And you know, we had a meeting jointly with the five key entities, the CPW, Greenwood Metro, the partnership, myself, and the county. And that's what we want, to build those relationships, because when those economic development job folks come here, they want to see that unified front. If the spokes and the wheel can't get along, then the chances of somebody investing millions in your community, they decrease significantly.
Sure. So, and of course, County Council has some new people on that, so that'll be changing up things. In fact, your old boss.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Steve? How's he
doing? I have not talked to him lately. I have seen messages on social media that he's doing well. I guess he may be at the County Council meeting tomorrow night. We'll see.
That'd be great. So these are the things that are happening. And, you know, but any possibility of things happening on this end of the bypass? I mean, you guys do a great job on the other end of the bypass.
Yeah. You know, City Council has committed that we really see the western side of the
is that this end of the bypass?
No, the Walmart side, the western side. You can drive out there, and there's not much property left. There's not much left to develop, but we see significant potential on the eastern side. This is the closest side to the lake, and so, you know, we've seen some good developments, the Gary Russ investment, New Spring Church, and so we're very excited, and hopefully we can continue to do some infill projects and bring some of that commercial that needs to be demolished or brought back.
Any beautification projects on the bypass? You do some lovely projects uptown. I mean, I just want to ask.
Yeah. And most of that is dictated by the state and federal level. There are plenty of dollars out there for downtown projects, and we've done a good job of going after those.
Can we be considered downtown? We'll say whatever.
Yeah.
But But as far as this side here, I mean, there has been some movement.
There has. I think if in the last few weeks, if you've driven there to our latest restaurant, Cookout, you know, the lines and the Greenwood loves to eat. And, you know, wherever the newest restaurant, that's where the line is. And so that went into a vacant building, and that's exciting. So that's what we want. We want to fill up these vacant buildings.
Sure. And, of course, what is it? Ollie's, I think, is coming down there into the old
Food
Lion.
Yeah, and, you know, Food Lion probably has not had a tenant in 15 years.
Right.
That building has been vacant for probably 15-plus years since Walmart left.
Right.
And so that's exciting to get Ollie's Bargain Outlet there into Greenwood.
Sure. So we've got all these good things going on. What do you see as some of the issues, though, going forward, some of the things that are going to have to be addressed?
Wow, some of the biggest challenges, you know, that we hear still housing, I think, is a challenge. You know, crime, I think that's been reported a number of times, juvenile crime in particular. Those are some of the challenges, and we simply don't have answers. It's the same challenges that most communities are dealing with. And a lot of that is tied back in, as we said before, everything is kind of tied together with jobs. We've seen crime go up. We've seen the job vacancies go up, and those two are tied together. So hopefully if we can bring jobs to this community and give folks opportunities, we will see some of those crime statistics decrease.
Any likelihood that the police force will be increasing, or the sheriff?
The mayor, he came out at the State of the City, and that's probably his top priority is to, we do have a need for additional police officers. The city council added a gang investigator position in the 2013 budget, so we did add one position, but without a source of revenue, you just can't add jobs. So without a new without tax growth, mm-hmm. Growth in the tax base, we can't add those positions, though we do need them.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm here with our city manager, Charlie Barino. We come back, I think I'm going to ask him about the Blues Cruise and how's that's coming since, it'll be here before you know it. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the three R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
All right, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We have our city manager, Charlie Barino, with us here this afternoon. We've been kind of perusing what's going to be coming up. And, of course, one of the things that comes up right after the Festival of Flowers is, of course, the Blues Cruise and Festival of Discovery. Is that going to grow, too?
Yeah, there's no question that the blues component is going to grow. We've got three renovated venues. This past year, obviously, the Mill House expanded and added their Maxwell Station venue, which mm-hmm. is their second building, so that'll be an addition. Buffalo Grill in the Uptown area is expanded into the second floor. They'll be opening that up probably here in the 1st of February, so that'll be a great new venue. Uptown Sushi is renovating right now in the process.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
The process of renovating, so it'll be a venue. Our good friend John Holloway, his studio, he now has his own alcohol license, so he's going to be a venue. Yes, we're going to have more music.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Excellent. So, and of course, what are the dates now? Do we have a firm
yes,
date?
Yes, it's always the second weekend in July, so it's July 11th, 12th, and 13th. And so we really are focusing on that Thursday night. We want to make this a three-day event. It used to be that, you know, we would have the Live After 5 and maybe two bands
sure.
After the Live After 5. Right now, I'm pretty sure that Howard's will have a band, Boone's will have a band, Buffalo's will have a band, Mill House will have a band.
Sounds like a full
Yeah, we'll have a full cruise on Thursday night, so it'll be a three-day event.
That's great.
Yeah, Gary will be Gary, our friend Shrimp City Slim. He'll be in town February the 21st. That's a Thursday night playing polo. So we'll get him into town and really start working on laying things out and getting it all planned. But he's already started booking bands. So.
Well, you know, I thought last year was just fabulous. I mean, and what about the barbecue? You going to expand any more venues?
And we said this at the end of last year, toying the idea of putting the barbecue out into Main Street. And that'll be a big change for the event.
Is that something you think you're going to do this year?
We're studying it very hard. And there's a lot of challenges to that, a lot of challenges.
That's leaving a lot of wiggle room there, Charlie.
You know, we may have to do a test. I mean, you may wake up one Friday, and if you're driving down Main Street, you get detoured on a random day, and you're like, now why did you? And you'll read in the paper, well, they did a test for barbecue, if it'll work. We have never shut down Main Street during the week. It's always been on a Saturday or Sunday when there are lower traffic volumes. And so we are very cautious to do that during the week on a Thursday, Friday, where you'll have work traffic, peak traffic coming through.
Sure. So. Well, the city may have to pay for everybody that works in Uptown's pay for that day so they don't have to go. I see where this is going. There you go. Courtesy of the city. You don't have to come to work today. Yeah. I like it. All right. So let's see. We've got that. And, of course, there may even be some more Topiaries added because the Blues Cruise there might be a
wouldn't occur this year, but we're looking forward into 2014 and beyond, and so, you know, one day maybe we'll have a pig or a blues guitar or some of those other things to match the two events together.
That would be neat.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
Yeah.
All right. So now, any other issues that you can think of that the city is addressing here? We've talked about a lot of things, but any other issues that are coming forward here?
Yeah, over the next few months, our focus again, as we had talked about earlier, are going to be the mill site, continuing to hopefully finish up some of these bringing some retail growth here into the community. And just like everybody else, we're cautiously optimistic. We have one eye on the gasoline pump to see what prices at the pump are. Just like everybody else, it impacts us greatly. So we're cautiously optimistic.
Now, what about, I know there's been a conversation about more bike paths.
Yeah, we've had a number of studies and have worked with our planning staff.
I know Wilburn would like some.
He would. He's an outdoor advocate.
Right.
You know, with the old abandoned rail that we have, we could have just some amazing trails that link this entire community together. A grant application, I think the planning staff are getting ready to put one in that will hopefully do some more trail studies. So hopefully that'll be another project that we'll tackle planning into this year.
And do you know anything about what's happening with the green space down here, the water plant?
It's still on square one. I don't think it's moved anymore. There is a lease with the Parks Foundation. I know that they are working to build their master plan document for that, but have not heard any more mention of that property.
Okay. All right. And last year, of course, we were fortunate to have the, where Governor Haley came here for the,
Rural Summit.
Right, yes, the Rural Summit. Yeah. Any other projects that will be coming this way?
I think the South Carolina Federation of Museums, so it's almost like the state group of museums, will be meeting here in Greenwood. So we'll be showcasing our museum downtown and the railroad museum there on South Main. So that's pretty exciting. But any group, any folks that are listening that are a member of association, we'd love to work with you to get your state association here into Greenwood.
Absolutely. Now, the Railroad Museum, that's got a bigger push going on.
Yeah. City Council did approve money, in the hospitality tax for that.
Where would we be if we didn't have the hospitality tax there? We wouldn't be talking very much about very much good things happening, would we, really?
Yeah. But, you know, City Council, we've been eyeing that project for a number. The City Council's been eyeing that for a number of years, and Again, rail is a part of Greenwood's history, and the seven cars that are there are very historic. Many have said that that we have got an amazing asset that is unfortunately crumbling there, and so this is the city's first step to commit to that project. We haven't ever put any money into that, and so council set aside $150,000 to handle some environmental issues. There's lead paint and some asbestos in those cars that before any work is done needs to be removed, and that issue put to bed. So that's what our goal is. And in 2013, I don't think the public should anticipate any new hours or any big opening or sure. ribbon cutting. This is getting the environmental issues taken care of, and then planning for the future. We want to make the Railroad Center a huge stop. I know for this Christmas took my family up to Bryson City, where they have the train that goes up there in the mountain, and yeah. The kids rode the Polar Express, and I was just amazed. They had sellout after sellout after sellout after sellout, and children love trains, and so there's no reason that we can't have some of that activity
we
here.
Should maximize that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, you added a new addition to your family this year, and how is married life and all that?
Yeah,
good
Miles
stuff?
Is great. Miles is now 5 months old, so we've got four children. The Barano house is hopping.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
And but he's
it's
healthy
fun.
And everything.
He is. He is. He'll be crawling before you know it.
Before you know it, that's terrific. Well, I know that that you certainly do love Greenwood and wish only the best for it, and we certainly hope to see more growth on this end of town.
Thank you, Ann.
Absolutely. So we've got expansion going on. We've got a lot of projects going on, and I wish we could get them all to come through and create an environment that is economically feasible for all our people here. What about seniors? What are we doing for seniors? We've got a lot of senior population here.
Well, I agree with that. I think that the we're continuing to see growth with our retirement communities. Some of the things that Wesley Commons, the lake, we got a great library in what we've done, and I hope that folks are using that library to its best potential. And shopping, obviously, we've grown that. Those are all critical components of attracting.
We also have a great medical facilities here, so we certainly are should be attracting more of that retirement age to this area.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we are here, we have been here with our city manager, Charlie Barano. We've talked about a lot of projects. Don't forget, coming up on the 22nd of January, they are taking down the tower, the smokestack and the elevator there on Kitson. And so if you want to be part of it, 11 o'clock, is that the time?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. If you want to get your picture taken, there's this going out on Facebook with a monument that's coming down. I understand they're even going to be taking pictures there, right, Charlie?
Yeah, we don't have any involvement in that, but I think that's Healthy Greenwood Neighborhoods is looking to raise money for their community gardens project. So if you want to have your picture taken from a distance, let me stress, from a distance, not in the drop-down zone, but from a distance, they'll have that there from 10 to 11, I think.
Yeah, something like that. All right, hey, that's going to do it for us. Charlie, thanks for coming out.
Thank you, Ann.
All right, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Tim Mooney on the show with me for half an hour, and then Peggy will be here, so make sure you check that out. And tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have Dwight Long, a city gardener, but also expert master gardener, who will be here with us. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.